بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise and thanks belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds. And peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who follow him, follow his teachings, follow his path until the Day of Judgment. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal for his boundless mercy, for his infinite knowledge and wisdom. We pray for his guidance that illuminates our path, the path ahead. We pray for his blessings, for barakah, for his boons that sustain us, that nourish us in every moment of our lives. We send our heartfelt salutations upon our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the embodiment of compassion, the paragon of mercy, the role model, the perfect role model who was sent for humanity. May Allah's peace and blessings also be upon his pure family, his loyal companions, and all those who tread in his footsteps with ikhlas, with righteousness until the end of time. I begin by reminding myself and then all of you all gathered here in this house of Allah to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to bring in the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of your maker, during every single second of your lives. And oh my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you must do this if you wish to attain victory, if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. For there is no other way to success, for there is no other way to victory except through taqwa, except through following the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Once a man goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and he complains. He complains about his neighbor who used to trouble him. He goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complains about his neighbor who used to trouble him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now advises the man who came and complained, to take some of his belongings, some of his things, you know, to, if you will, pack a bag, take some of your belongings and go and sit on the road. And now the man does as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to do. And now people were passing by and they were asking this man, why are you seated on the road with your belongings? Just imagine if you were to go and sit on your road, the road that you live in, with your belongings on the road. Obviously, people who know you, people who pass by, they're going to ask you because they can see you, they know you. They're going to ask you, why? Why are you seated here out on the road with your belongings? So people were asking this man, and this man, he responds that his neighbor had caused him trouble. Now, the people, when hearing this response from the man, they began to curse the neighbor. Oh, what a bad person. How unfortunate. This and that, and they started to speak negatively of the neighbor who was causing trouble, and they started to curse him as well. And now the number started to increase. Everyone who was going past started to say something negative. You know, he is not going to do well in life. He's this, he's that. And they go on to curse the neighbor. Now the neighbor finds out about this. He finds out that his neighbor is seated out there telling people that he is causing trouble, and every person passing by is cursing him. So now he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells the messenger about the situation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, you know, all these people, they're cursing you, right? They're speaking negatively of you, right? Allah's curse, the curse of Allah is on top of their curses.
Allahu Akbar.
The curse of Allah towards you as a neighbor, causing trouble towards your neighbor, is on top of the curses of all these individuals. In the sense, Allah is at the top cursing, and then you have all these curses. You're bothered, you're concerned about the curses of these individuals, right? So you should know that Allah's curse is on top of all of this. The man immediately goes to his neighbor and he says, the narration goes along the lines of these words, you know, by Allah, I will never trouble you after this. By Allah, you are safe from my trouble after this. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this hadith is recorded in Adab al-Mufrad, the book of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And inshallah ta'ala, in the few minutes that I have with you all, let us reflect on an extremely important aspect of our faith. And this is huququl jar, the rights of our neighbors. Islam places great emphasis. You might be thinking, Friday sermon, rights of the neighbors, is it that important a topic? You know why I chose this topic? Because it is that important a topic. And we heavily undermine it. We heavily undermine it. We take it lightly. We take it extremely lightly. Whilst if you look at the Quranic ayat regarding this, if you look at the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this, the narrations are extremely stern. The narrations are extremely powerful. And the narrations emphasize the importance of this. Look at this hadith, again recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and he said it three times by the way, by Allah, he does not have iman. By Allah, he does not have iman. By Allah, he does not have iman. Then the people asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, who are you talking about? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds, he whose neighbor is not safe from his harm. In other words, if you are the cause of trouble to your neighbor, if you are the cause of harm to your neighbor, then you do not have iman. You do not have faith. In another narration, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the one whose neighbor is not secure from his evil, he will not enter Jannah. He will not enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. Look at how stern the narrations are. Now you might be thinking, but I come to the masjid. I pray. I'm on time. I fast. I go on Hajj. I go on Umrah. I give millions out in charity, zakah. I've helped so many families. I've helped so many couples get married. I've fed so many people, built so many water solutions. I've done this, I've done that. Ramadan comes about, I'm in the first row. But if you are causing trouble to your neighbor, and we're going to again define what does it mean to cause trouble. If your neighbor is not safe with regards to the evil you cause, with regards to the disturbances you cause, with regards to the trouble you cause, then the Prophet says you do not have iman and you're not going to enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. We have another hadith. Subhanallah. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he kept emphasizing treating neighbors with kindness, treating one's neighbors with kindness. He kept on emphasizing it so hardly. The narration goes along the lines of these words. The Prophet says, at one point I thought the command would come that the neighbor is going to inherit from you. Allahu Akbar. The neighbor is going to inherit from you. Now, if you contemplate on this narration for a moment, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, who generally inherits from you? Think about it for a moment. If you reflect on the hadith, who inherits from you? Each individual, we are all going to be inherited from. Regardless of whether you have whether you leave behind a big estate that is to be divided. When we say estate, we mean your assets, your net worth, the estate of a deceased individual. Everything, you know, all your assets, whatever you belong, whatever you own, basically. Or even if you're leaving a little bit behind, someone's going to inherit from you. Who generally inherits? Your spouse will inherit from you. Why? Because of the proximity, right? Your children are going to inherit from you. Your son is going to inherit from you. Your daughter is going to inherit from you by default. And then perhaps there's the chance for your parents to inherit from you, and in certain situations, your siblings to inherit from you. So as you can see, a very close circle. You're not going to have strangers from the road inheriting from you. You're not going to have far distant relatives generally inheriting from you. It's a very close circle that inherits from you. So the Prophet ﷺ says, the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam went on to emphasize the rights of the neighbors so much that at one point I thought he's going to say, you know what? A share of your inheritance is also going to go to your neighbors. This is the amount of importance, the amount of emphasis that was attached to the rights with regards to one's neighbors. Allahu Akbar. We have another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is reported to have said, when it was said to him, Ya Rasulullah, there is such and such a woman. A certain woman was described. Such and such a woman. She prays at night and she fasts during the day. Fasts during the day. We're not talking about random fasts here and there. Regularly she fasts during the day. And we're not talking about only waking up in the night during Ramadan or during the last 10 nights of Ramadan or during only the 27th night of Ramadan. No. She regularly gets up during the night. She spends the night in prayer. And she does many good deeds. She does many good deeds. But she harms her neighbors with her tongue. With her tongue. With her words, she harms her neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly said, there is no good in her. She is in Jahannam. She is in the hellfire. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. There is no good in her. She is in the hellfire. A woman who fasts during the day, who spends the night in prayer, who does many, many good deeds, but she harms her neighbors with her tongue. There's no good in her. She's going to be in the fire of Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, the best of companions in the sight of Allah is the one who is best to his companion. And the best of neighbors in the sight of Allah is the one who is the best to his neighbor. The best to his neighbor. Now I'd like to mention a few action items. You see, in today's landscape, we're gravitating towards vertical living. If you ask people today, a lot of people today live in apartments, they live in condominiums, they live in gated communities, unlike in the past, where at times even today, when you go to the countryside, you will see houses are spaced with a lot of distance. Why? Because perhaps land is cheap and you're able to afford land around you as well. So you won't really have a lot of neighbors. But when you look at the urban landscape, again, because of the cost of living, because of land prices being so expensive, you have a lot of neighbors. You're either living down a street with many neighbors, your house is right adjacent to your neighbor. At times you share just one wall. Or you're living in a condominium, you're living in an apartment, you're living in a gated community. So the rights of the neighbors become even more applicable. So how do you avoid being a bad neighbor? Number one, noise control. we need to be mindful of noise levels. You see, in the past, walls used to be quite thick. Unfortunately, now, cost-cutting, whatnot, walls have become paper thin. Walls have become paper thin. So you can hear the conversations next door. Your conversations, the sound from your residence easily seeps into the neighbor's house. Your conversations, your discussions, your usage of devices, be it the television or your handheld devices, the noise of the radio, noise of what you're listening, noise of what you're consuming, noise of what you're watching. So noise levels, you need to be mindful of noise levels, especially during early mornings and late nights. So avoid making excessive noise that can disturb neighbors. You see, in certain condominiums, they actually have guidelines. Say, for example, after 2 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon, you're not allowed to do any renovation work. You're not allowed to drill. You're not allowed to, you know, hammer a nail. You know, if you're living in an apartment, you may have children with you. You must ensure when they're playing that they don't drop hard objects on the ground, because like I said again, walls are paper thin. It's not very thick. You can cause disturbances. There may be elderly people living. There may be patients living as your neighbors. There may be children living. We need to be considerate. You see, we're not talking about other faiths here. We're talking about what Islam expects of us, what the teachings of Islam mandate. You see, if you're going to cause trouble to your neighbor, you have not brought in iman. Remember the starting hadith, you have not brought in iman. Number 2, you're not going to go to Jannah. May Allah protect us all. So be considerate as neighbors. Maintain your noise levels. Let's say you have a vehicle that makes a loud noise. It can be a sports car, it can be a vehicle with a big engine. Try to ensure that you don't make a big racket in the morning. You see, in certain condominiums, they've actually got guidelines for people, because sometimes people tend to modify their engines also to make louder noises. Not to make noises, basically, to disturb the neighborhood, to disturb the community. Youngsters today, you know, we tend to race around, not caring about the neighbors, about the community, about the elderly, about those who are sick. So much of noise pollution. Remember these words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let's say you are planning on some renovations, because at the end of the day, you want to repair your house, you want to plan to, you know, build something, renovations. Inform your neighbors in advance. Inform them in advance so that they're prepared, so that they can adjust their schedule a little bit. So they also understand, okay, work is going on. And try to minimize it as much as possible. Number 2, respect your neighbor's privacy. Do not invade into your neighbor's privacy. Avoid peeking into their homes. Avoid spreading rumors. Avoid gossiping about them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Let's say you overhear some loud noise, an argument going on. Now don't go gossiping. Hey, you know what? Mr. and Mrs. are having a huge fight. You know, I heard plates flying around, dishes flying around, you know, swear words being used. He called his wife this, she called him this. He left the house, doors were dashed. I mean, we all have marriages. We all, you know, go through arguments, misunderstandings. Why do you want to air the dirty laundry of others? If you do that, it'll be done to you. It'll be done to you. What goes around comes around. And again, if you do it, you're invading into your neighbor's privacy. You have caused your neighbor trouble. You have caused your neighbor evil. May Allah protect us all. Waste disposal. You know, at times, you know, you're living in a, like I said, a condominium. You tend to eat food that has or gives off a bad smell or a strong smell, let's put it that way. Because for some people, certain smells are aromatic, like say durian, for example. I'm not a fan of durian. But then there are those in the crowd who would love it. They love it. I cannot stand it being in my vehicle. But there are those who love the smell of durian. But you have to understand that if you're living with neighbors, there may be people who like it and there may be people who don't like it. So if you want to indulge in it in such a way where you don't cause hindrance to others. Dispose of the waste appropriately. Make sure that it is not lingering around, the smell. And on top of such foods, even general waste, You know, at times there are people who just dump their waste outside. They don't ensure to cover it properly. Then what happens? The stray dogs, stray animals, the crows, they come, start pecking on that. And then the driveway of the other individual's house is littered with all your garbage now. What have you done? You have caused evil. You have caused trouble. The Prophet ﷺ says, you do not have iman. The Prophet ﷺ says, you will not enter Jannah. The warnings are very stern, my dear brothers in Islam. Very, very stern. So take it to heart. Avoid encroachment. Slowly, there are people who encroach on the lands of others. And eventually, this leads to disputes. It's not much, you know, so people justify it in their head. Oh, it's just one strip of land. It may be one strip of land. It may be 1 millimeter of land. If it does not belong to you, it is haram. You have encroached. So do not encroach on the lands of others. Ensure that your construction, sometimes it's a balcony, and now it's encroached on the land of the other person. Sometimes it's a tree. It's encroached on the land of the other person. Sometimes it's just a shade. But now it has encroached on the land of the other person. You have done so without the permission of that person. Be careful. You have caused trouble to your neighbor. You have caused evil to your neighbor. And again, parking etiquettes. Today, almost everyone in the crowd has some form of a vehicle. It may be a motorcycle. It may be a car. It may be a van. It may be whatever the vehicle that you're using. Make sure that you do not block the driveways of other individuals. You don't block the spaces of other individuals, causing them trouble. And at times there are shared facilities that you use within a condominium. It can be a car wash, for example. One car wash, maybe 100 homes have to share. Now don't go and hog it to yourself. Don't go and park your vehicle there, preventing the other person from washing his or her vehicle. Maybe that person is in an urgency to go somewhere. You've caused trouble to that individual. Always be considerate. Shared spaces, common spaces, lobby spaces, lounge spaces. You have to be considerate. Why? Because you're sharing it with others. It's a neighborhood. It's a community. So in terms of being a good neighbor, greet your neighbors warmly. Socially interact with them well. Share your food with them. There are many hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he tells us, the one who fills his stomach alone, whilst his neighbor goes hungry, he is not a mu'min. He is not a believer. Allahu Akbar. If you fill your stomach alone and your neighbor is hungry, you're not a believer. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he instructs Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Dharr, when you cook a stew, like a gravy, a curry, increase it. Increase the broth and share it with your neighbors. Take care of your neighbors. Share the food with your neighbors. Allahu Akbar. Don't be stingy. Don't only cook for yourself. Try to offer help. Be ready to offer assistance in times of need. Whether it's helping with the groceries, fixing something, providing some support during emergencies. There's a funeral, visit. Offer your condolences, offer your sympathies, help the family out. There's someone sick, iyadatul mariyad, visit the sick. Show empathy, show understanding, be considerate. Help them to resolve conflicts. If they ask you to get involved, don't poke your nose unnecessarily. But if they ask for your help, try to go in and resolve conflicts amicably. You see, when you look at the teachings of the Prophet and the Sahaba, you see, the rights at times summarized. If they ask for help, offer them help. If they ask to borrow something from you, some salt, some pepper, some spices, a ladder, a hammer, a drill, a water hose, help them out by lending these things to them. If they are poor, help them to satisfy their needs. If they are afflicted, console them. If they achieve something, congratulate them. If they fall ill, visit them. If there's a funeral in the house, visit them. Offer your condolences. Even to the extent that the righteous people of the past say, do not build your house higher than your neighbor without asking the consent of your neighbor. Why? Because by building, you might disturb the wind flow to their house. Allah. Do we think? Who cares? It's my land. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what I want to do. Who cares about my neighbor? Let him suffer. Let him suffocate and die. It's my land. And most of the time, our relationships with our neighbors are not the greatest. At times, we don't even know who our neighbors are. Nor are we bothered to know.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, as I conclude, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? The word jar, who is it? Is it the neighbor to your right? Is it the neighbor to your left? Is it the neighbor opposite? Is it the neighbor at the back? Is it the neighbor in the next road? The Sahaba were asked the same question, and some of the Sahaba responded by saying the term neighbor, jar, includes 40 houses in front of a person, 40 houses behind a person, 40 houses to the right of a person, 40 houses to the left of a person. This is your neighborhood. Allahu Akbar. This is your responsibility, O believer, O follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are seated in the masjid. The person seated next to you is your neighbor. The person seated to your left is your neighbor. The person seated behind you is your neighbor. The person seated in front of you is your neighbor. You're parking outside the masjid. The person parking in front of you is your neighbor. The person parking behind you is your neighbor. You're traveling, your companion, you're seated in public transport. The person seated next to you is your neighbor, is your jar. So as you can see, the definition is as such. So wherever a believer goes, he causes no trouble to his neighbor. He's always considerate. He doesn't sit in a way where it could cause discomfort to his neighbors. He doesn't park in a way where it would cause trouble to his neighbors. He does not block driveways. He does not block the vehicles of others. This is how considerate you as a believer, as the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, must be. Your office space, the store next to you, your neighbor. The store to your right, your neighbor. Your store in front, your neighbor. The store behind you, your neighbor. You may be thinking, no, Sheikh, you got it wrong. That's my competition. Your competition, all right. But they're your neighbors. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us pray unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us to be good neighbors, to be kind neighbors, to be loving neighbors, to emulate what the Prophet expected of us. The Prophet expected something. He expected something. So let us strive to be that. Let us strive to be a neighbor of Iman. A neighbor as per the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by being this good neighbor, as you can see, even if you don't do colossal amount of good deeds, I'm not undermining good deeds. I'm not saying, now don't go home and apply the logic. You know what? I think what the Sheikh said is, even if I don't pray Fajr, if I'm a good neighbor, I'm going to go to Jannah, mashallah. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Your obligations, you need to fulfill it. You need to pray Fajr. You need to pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Your obligations need to be fulfilled. No doubt about it. Your zakah, you must give it. But along with that, if you are going to be a good neighbor, even if you don't do extra optional good deeds, this deed of yours will drag you into Jannah. On the other hand, you're doing your obligations. You do a whole lot of optional good deeds, but you're a bad neighbor. Now that will drag you to Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get our priorities straight. With that I conclude, I pray, O Allah, grant us the strength to be the best of neighbors, reflecting the kindness and mercy taught to us by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, fill our hearts with love and compassion for those around us, for our neighbors around us, enabling and helping us to build supportive and loving communities. Ya Allah, protect our neighbors from harm and grant us the wisdom, grant us the knowledge, grant us the strength to respect their privacy and their their rights. Oh Allah, help us to be considerate. Help us to be mindful of our actions and our statements, ensuring that we do not cause discomfort, ensuring that we do not cause trouble or inconvenience to our neighbors. Oh Allah, inspire us to engage in acts of kindness, in acts of generosity, sharing our blessings, the blessings that you have given us, with those who live near us, with those who are in difficulty. Ya Allah, bless our neighbors with good health, with happiness and prosperity. Ya Allah, strengthen the bonds of our community. Ya Allah, just as how you united us here in this masjid, unite us in the gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.